Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Look at this year's draft. We feel pretty strongly that after six or seven, it's really a wide range of where the names are going to go. We felt it's a real good value for us to make that deal. We really like the group of players we see ourselves potentially targeting at 14. We pick up an extra asset, which is good value, at pick 42, and then that's certainly something that we'll talk about. We're actively, you know, shopping around to look and see if there's a deal to make to help our roster better with pick 43. So this just gives us a little bit more ammunition.
Welcome to Draft Day here in Vegas, as that was Kevin Adams talking yesterday on the heels of a deal that was consummated in the morning. Pacific time, early afternoon.
Don't ask me. I'm morning and afternoons are always messed up for me anyway. So
they are. We've made that abundantly clear and have revisited it many times here over the last.
So good afternoon in Buffalo. Good morning in Vegas. That's the way it goes.
And with it now, the Sabres might position themselves to do what, given that they have moved from 11th in the first round,
yes,
back to 14th, but have an extra second round pick, and movement, of course, has been continuing around the NHL. Yesterday, for example, Andrew Mangiapane goes from Calgary to Washington, yet another rival in the Eastern Conference, and it was a cost of just a second round pick. The Capitals, we've talked an awful lot about, just their moves so far.
Yes.
Adding Pierre-Luc Dubois to try to bolster the forward ranks. Look, last year they were an extreme outsider to truly be in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
All the blowout losses, all the challenges they had scoring, and somehow they made it. Then their team, minor league club, wins the Calder Cup again, and the big club is still adding pieces. And it's these types of deals. An established player for a second round pick that just has me, and I'm sure many, you know, Sabre fans and fans across the league wondering how many deals of this type might we see in and around draft weekend.
Well, obviously what the Washington Capitals are doing is saying, we made the playoffs, but we were team 16. Mm-hmm. Of the 16 teams that made the playoffs, we were team 16, which, that's great. We make the playoffs. Good for us.
Yeah.
But there's still a long way to go. And so they did acquire Pierre-Luc Dubois and now Mangiapane. Now, I take that to the Sabres. And like Kevin Adams joined us on this show yesterday. You know, it was about 12:30 Eastern time that he was on with us. And he mentioned, look, we're not opposed to going back. Mm-hmm. Like fall a few steps back, a few picks back, maybe acquire an asset or two that we can flip around in a trade and go get something else.
Yes.
So when the trade broke down last night, yesterday afternoon, I should say, of the Sabres moving from 11 to 14 and getting the 42nd pick, which the Sabres already had the 43rd pick, it basically tells me, me personally, that the Sabres are still in the business of, let's see if we can not only use that 14th overall pick, but now you add that with a second rounder, mm-hmm, can that bring something more significant to the team? If I'm just trading you, Duffer, the 11th pick, mm-hmm, you're going to say, okay, the 11th pick's nice. But if I tell you 14 and 42 or 14 and 43, because the Sabres have those two picks back-to-back, mm-hmm, that could be even more enticing. Or if I say, hey, you know what? We have a deal kind of in the works right now, but I'm going to give you 42 and 43 as opposed to just one second round pick. Let's make that happen. Some teams would say, hey, we don't have a first rounder.
Yep.
And now we're getting not only our own second round pick, but we can add a couple second round picks on top of it. I think there was a ton of added value for the Sabres just to move three picks back into the first round.
So there was the Mangiapane deal. There was Tyler Myers re-upping with Vancouver for a three-year deal at approximately three per.
And he could have given us a heads up yesterday when we ran into him. He
no,
didn't say anything.
I think the vibe was clear. He was looking very happy and very confident.
Yes.
And Dakota Joshua, 4 years, 3.25. What's next for Vancouver? Presumably Zadorov, if they can get that done. Mm-hmm. UC Saros and the Predators are working to finalize an 8-year extension at 7.74, which is low. by the highest end standard in the NHL right now when it comes to goaltending. So the Predators are going to, I think, win contractually here on this deal. Obviously, Saros is 29, but it's worth noting that in his last 4 years, he has finished 6th, 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Vezina Trophy voting. So this is not somebody that is on the outside of the best goaltenders. He is right in the top handful in the NHL.
Well, look, Jussi Saros, I would think, I have no knowledge of how the negotiations went between Saros and the Nashville Predators, would have put Ilya Sorokin, $8.5 million contract, as the let's try to get to the 8.5. The difference is that Saros would probably get a no movement clause. I would think, like, if you're Jussi Saros and you say, I will sign 8 years with you, I will sign for less because Tennessee, as we know, is a no, a low tax kind of a state, a no a tax state. So the 8.5 that Sorokin is making in New York probably equals to about 7.5 to 7.75 that Sorokin Saros could make in Tennessee and Nashville. Mm-hmm. So you get yourself an 8-year deal. You get yourself a friendly number, a team friendly number at 7.75. And you get yourself
7.74, which is important because Sidney Crosby would not take 8.88.
Yeah, no.
He took 8.87.
Because that was his number.
Yes.
I get it. Saros' number is 74, yes. So it would be 7.74. But at the same time, he's saying, okay, I'll add a no-movement clause, so I know I'm going to stay in a low-tax state the rest of the contract and maximize the earning on that contract.
It's a great hurdle to have cleared, presumably, when they get it done. The Saros situation, I know others, and us included this year, wondered about Askarov and his future. Look, there's still ample time for that runway to continue in Nashville, establish himself as a really, really good NHLer behind Saros. And if that's the case, then he still has incredible value potentially around the league to make Nashville better. The Predators have a big log jam right now of dead contracts and bought out contracts, and it's really it doesn't allow them to get even close to being, you know, a true cap team where they're spending on their active roster. They have a lot that is going to be holding them back here for the next couple of years, but this is a good team friendly start, and we'll see what other, you know, significant moves they can pull off. But
the whole Saros thing to me is interesting because there's not a lot of smaller goaltenders in the National Hockey League like Jussi Saros that have had the success that Saros has had. Mm-hmm. And I think when we talk about Devon Levi and his kind of, you know, coming onto the NHL scene and what would be a, I don't want to say that a good example, that you're playing exactly like a goaltender of your size, but a smaller goaltender that has had success. And why has Saros had so much success in the NHL? Very athletic, athleticism, like I just said, quickness, reaction, all of it. And it took a little bit longer for Saros to get to that level. Like, he was behind Pecorine for a few years until the Nashville Predators decided to say, okay, now this is Saros' net, and we're moving in that direction. I think Devon Levi is the type of goaltender that has the same attribute as Saros, same body built, the same athleticism, the same quickness. But there is some learning for Levi. And I think for Saros, who now is in his late 20s, getting himself an 8-year deal, that could be the path of a Devon Levi that, okay, we know that he has the raw tools, and Luukkonen is there right now. So Kevin Adams said, I really like where my goaltending is at. I like where my defense is at. I want to add pieces up front. Well, that tells me they're happy with Luukkonen and where Levi's development is projecting to be. And I think, I'm not saying he's a Jussi Saros by the end of his career, but it could trend that direction because it takes time to get there, but he has all the tools.
He absolutely does. And one of many recurring topics this week has been the buyout window.
Yes.
I mentioned what Nashville is facing right now. I mean, you know, they have buyout history on their books to the tune of 7.5 this year, 8.5 next year, and as it pertains to Matt Duchene and Kyle Turris. They also have dead cap money in Ryan Johansson and Matthias Ekholm. So they're down like $12 million alone this coming season. But that's a lot. And we knew the Flyers...
They needed the $756,000, not $755,000 or whatnot, because of Saros.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
they needed that $750,000-some difference between $8.5 million and $7.74 million.
Yes, and keep in mind, I mean, you know, Saros is under contract for one more year at $5 million. Yeah. So this is a major commitment, obviously, to Saros. But in the realm of buyouts, and we'll touch on it again with Jeff Skinner here coming up, and is there still a potential for that to happen? We have seen one today, and it was expected.
Yes.
Danny Briere has been really honest when it comes to answering questions about players who maybe or more likely don't fit the future profile of the Philadelphia Flyers. And it has now happened with Cam Atkinson that he's been bought out. And Marty, the Flyers, again, are already one of these teams that has retained money, you know, dead cap, if you will, in Kevin Hayes, Anthony D'Angelo. Now they're going to have Atkinson in that realm. And there might still be something with Cal Peterson and that moving forward. So this is what happens when you make the tough decisions. And it's no surprise that Atkinson will have a new start after his time in Philly.
Not a surprise, but only 1 year left on the contract, right? So you're not looking at projecting, oh, we're going to have buyout money for 6 years. Jeff Skinner is 3 years left, and obviously that would be a much bigger financial commitment. If you were to buy out Jeff Skinner right now, it would be about $14.5 million over the next 6 years. So Cam Atkinson at a $5.87 million AAV coming up this year, actually was going to make less money, just over $5 million. So it's a $2.3 million cap hit this year and a $1.75 next year. For the Flyers, it made perfect sense to say, okay, we're going to move on, save ourselves $3 million of cap space here, almost $4 million of cap space next year, and we're going to buy out Cam Atkinson. But again, it's not going to be for 5, 6, 7, 8 years down the road. It's only for the next 2 years that number is on the books.
Right, and I think that's been pretty obvious how the Flyers are positioning themselves and you know, trying to move off of some of the previously existing money and start fresh, and they're going to have a wonderful opportunity to do so. I mean, they got great news with Michkov being able to come over and get his North American career started. So they'll be undoubtedly, I would think, a pretty significant player this weekend. But as it pertains to the Sabres, we're rolling along here on Sabres Live on Draft Day, round one tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time.
At Sphere.
Kevin Adams, of course, was with us yesterday. Then he immediately did a media session after making the deal with San Jose, and the continuing topic of Jeff Skinner and his future with the Sabres, which centers largely around the buyout window that we are currently in, but it's just as much the clause that Jeff has in his contract, which is a no move. So instead of just thinking buy it out and move on, there's always options here, but you need all sides to be on board with it. So Kevin Adams discussing, you know, Skinner and his no move clause.
When you have situations like this and there's a no move, that means no move. So there's, right. You know, you have to, out of respect for the player too.
Here.
And this isn't, yeah, exactly. And this isn't just Jeff. This is in any situation like this. If you have a player that has a no move clause, and even if there was a situation that arose that you're interested in, you know, the spirit of no moves, the player's not moving, you know, and so you have to just start with transparency of information to the agent, which we've done now, you know, back and forth to say, hey, here's some of the things we're thinking about internally, here's things, and I said this last week, I have a lot of respect for Newport Sports, and these guys are, they're pros, they've been in this a long time, they know the business, they know the market, they do a good job with their players, so we've just had honest dialogue, and, you know, they know everything we're thinking and talking about, and we know where they're at.
All right, so there's the GM, Kevin Adams, and obviously the big moment for he and the organization could come in the 4 o'clock Pacific time hour tonight in the first round, but it's more likely to be in the second hour of the draft based on where they are
yes,
picking.
Yes, but later in the second hour.
Are you? What do you make of everything that you've continually heard from Kevin on this particular topic, and with what you've seen around the NHL, which included, you know, a couple of buyouts already, right? We had Ryan Suter,
yes,
with Dallas. We now have Cam Atkinson with the Flyers, and the window is clearly wide open and will stay so until the afternoon of June the 30th.
So the way that the rules work, though, is any players that have a no-movement clause don't have to go on waivers for a buyout. Ryan Suter, no-movement clause, went straight to buyout. Jeff Skinner could go straight to buyout. Like, Kevin Adams doesn't have to, at noon, announce that, hey, we've put Jeff Skinner on waivers with the purpose of a buyout. Cam Atkinson was obviously talked about. The Flyers are going to buy out Cam Atkinson now, 12 minutes ago. So at noon, he went on unconditional waivers today, mm-hmm. basically for the purpose of a buyout. So Jeff Skinner doesn't have to have that step. Like, we don't now, have to say.
So essentially, what that means is the Flyers still may not end up buying him out.
Because if somebody picks up Cam Atkinson.
Just like San Jose did with Barkley Goodrow.
So that could happen. Although, you know, it's very unlikely. When you've exhausted all of the situation, you've mm-hmm. talked to the player, to the other teams, and you say, okay, what if I put that guy on waivers? Would mm-hmm. you pick him up? Some teams, they say, yeah, maybe we would or maybe we wouldn't. You talk to them about it. Now you, as the Flyers announced that you're going to buy out Cam Atkins, that's because you've exhausted all the options.
Right.
The Sabres, with Jeff Skinner, are in a different boat. There is a ton of different options laid in front of Kevin Adams when it comes to Jeff Skinner. Number one, let's look at the buyout. Do you buy him out this year? Mm-hmm. Do you hope that, hey, you know what, let's bring Jeff Skinner for one more year. Let's see how that works with Lindy Ruff and, you know, the Tage Thompson healthy, everybody in a better place. And if that doesn't work, we can buy out Jeff Skinner next year. It is a difference in the buyout, in the structure of the buyout, and in the money with the buyout. But there is, when it started to be rumored last week that, oh, maybe the Sabres would buy out Jeff Skinner, there's a lot of teams and a lot of media around teams that were like, hey, Jeff Skinner at a X number would mm-hmm. be a good fit for our team. Would be. So I think that what Kevin Adams is doing and will keep doing today and tomorrow possibly is there a team out there we can make a trade with? We can maybe retain some salary. We can facilitate, maybe take a contract that is not a good contract for another team and try to work our way into a different situation before we get to the buyout. The buyout is the end of the road. You buy out a player, it's the last resort.
I don't
resort.
See them taking on a bad contract from another team.
Well, no, I don't see it either. I think the Sabres at the end of the day are saying, is there a value in Jeff Skinner, maybe at a retained salary to say we're making a hockey move in that sense? Or maybe they acquire a few picks that they turn around again and acquire somebody in return. I don't think taking in a bad contract is where they're going to go, but they're exploring all those options. Mm-hmm. I think the buyout window closes on June 30th at 5 p.m. The Sabres have until June 30th at 5 p.m. basically to see, can we make another option work before mm-hmm. we get to that point?
Right.
That's what Kevin Adams is doing. Everybody in Buffalo yesterday woke up expecting, oh, they'll buy out Jeff Skinner. And there seemed to be some frustration with a lot of fans that are like, why have they not bought him out yet? Well, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You have until June 30 at 5 p.m. Look at all the options in front of you and see if that happens. We discussed, if you make a trade and you retain half, 50% of Jeff Skinner's salary, mm-hmm. $4.5 million cap this year, next year, and the year after. Mm-hmm. In year one, yes, you have a little bit more of a cap hit than if you buy him out. But in year two and year three, you're actually benefiting from just retaining salary as opposed to buying him out. Mm-hmm. So if you look at your salary structure and your Kevin Adams and you say, well, we have plenty of room this year.
Right.
We could take the $4.5 million cap hit right. on retained salary. In year two and year three, you're in a better spot.
But as we've seen in trades potentially of that ilk, it would likely be Buffalo sending Skinner and something else, i.e. a pick
yes.
or a prospect and retaining salary, which at the end of the day kind of defeats the purpose because you could do it without any cost and just buy out, right? Mm-hmm. But again, it's easy for us to sit there and say, well, this seems like the easier of the options or the more likely of the options.
Yes.
But we're not hearing all the potential opportunities that could exist and the ongoing dialogue that is between the Sabres, Skinner, and his agent. So,
like, and that is such an important point.
Yes.
Because Kevin Adams says, okay, Kevin Adams could have a deal on the table with the Minnesota Wild today.
Sure.
And say, that makes a lot of sense. We like it. Pick up the phone. Call Jeff Skinner's agent. Say, hey, would Jeff be willing to waive his no move to go to Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay, well, then it's a moot point. Yeah, like you can't go anywhere because the player has the right mm-hmm. to not go anywhere because he has that no movement clause.
Craig Button's coming up real quick here on Sabres Live. Joe Yordan in hour number two and a very special Sabres alumni guest. You will want to stay tuned for that. And yes, he is one that typically makes us laugh. So we're looking forward to that. One more here from Kevin Adams. Let's focus on since we're just still on the topic, whether any moves that they make could still have an impact on the Jeff Skinner situation. Here's Kevin.
There was not a trade, and we went through every possible scenario with every team you could possibly go through that we felt comfortable made sense for pick 11. And there's also any trade that we've potentially looked at or talked about. It wasn't there could still be the same trade there at 14.
Okay.
You know, so that's part of the thought process as well. But you know, I said we're doesn't mean we're done here. You know, we're going to actively look. This pick's available if it makes sense for us. We could we'd have assets to move back up. We could move down again. We just felt this one made sense for us based on, you know, what I said earlier.
All right, and you can catch all of Kevin's address yesterday. Not that there won't be another one today, but
there'll be multiple, possibly
yeah.
multiple tomorrow.
But yes, always on Sabres.com. Are you still like? How are you feeling about all of this right now? As far as your instincts, your feel for any kind of it doesn't have to be Skinner related, obviously, but just Saber related today.
You know me. I'm glass half full. You have a full glass of water on the table.
We've been in this the exact same time when it comes to being at drafts together from 1995 on.
Absolutely.
So
I trust every single one of them.
I trust your instincts on this. So.
From 2000 to 2013, I wasn't really paying much attention to them because I was playing.
I'm not allowed to make that comment, but we might have similar feelings on it.
So, but I'm a glass half full type of guy, but I also feel that, you know, there's maybe it's a bad analogy, but you have to crawl and walk before you can run, right? Like Kevin Adams is looking at, I know the chatter is the Sabres want to get better. The Sabres want to add a top six. Mm-hmm. The Sabres want to, you know, see if Nick Ehlers or Travis Konecny or whoever, right? Like whatever name you think out there. There was somebody on social media just said, what about Teuvo Teravainen? You know, he may likely go to UFA route. He had 25 goals this year. Like that's a good value and you don't have to give anything. Yeah, I'm sure Kevin Adams is looking at all the options. But I feel like the deal yesterday is like the crawling and the learning to walk before you get that big deal where you're running and you're getting yourself in a good position. That's the way I see it. I think that's the vibe that I'm getting here in Vegas. And obviously, we can get to the draft and nothing could happen because last year at the draft, nothing happened, right? There was no trades in the first round. But I have this feeling that this move yesterday was the first in a what could be better or greater move for the team, top six forward, something like that to get in place.
Well, it has been a nice ramp up to the draft as far as changes across the league. Started with the goaltending position in multiple cities and continues now mm-hmm. as teams get some extensions in place to retain their own, some buyouts that happen to help, you know, manage teams' individual situations, which, you know, like we mentioned yesterday in the case of the Dallas Stars and the buyout of Ryan Suter, like the hope is they have just enough extra to convince Chris Tanev to stay, right? Like that's a big situation to unfold. You have the Marty Natchez position in Carolina. Who will be the suitors lining up for him? Will that actually happen today before the draft, amidst the draft? Yeah. Kaapo Kakko continues to be a name that many would consider from the Rangers. Like, where is his fit after all this time? I know it sounds like he's been there forever, but
after a 12-year career,
it's been
in
a slow build.
No.
Oh, we never got a chance to joke about, not joke, but yeah, keep it light anyway. Our Prospects Challenge Hall of Famer Graham Clark got traded from the Devils last week in a rather minor transaction, but we were always joking. It's like, how many years have we seen
Graham Clark was there
come in
veteran
with the Devils at the Prospects Challenge?
But it's also one of those things, like, we see there's many different ways to build a team. You can build through the draft and all of that. The Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup with only having three NHL draft picks on their team.
And then you saw Ekblad's name in the rumor mill
yesterday.
He's
in the rumor now. This is a guy that was the number one overall pick. Like, they joke, they had Ekblad, they have Reinhardt, who was number two. They have Bennett, who was number four after Dreisaitl. Mm-hmm. Like, they've accumulated all these people, but now Ekblad could be on the move. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, well, possibly so they can re-sign Sam Reinhardt and maybe even Montour or whatnot. Like, there's so many things there. But let's not panic. Like, the draft is at 7 p.m. Eastern from Sphere in Vegas. I think the Sabres will be getting more and more calls on the 14th pick as we get towards, like, picks 8, 9, 10. Because teams are waiting to see who is on our board that hasn't been drafted yet and could be available at 14. And that between 9 and 16 could be a bunch of different guys. I think if the Sabres make a deal that includes a 14 pick, it could be well into, you know, the 8:20, 8:25 p.m. Eastern time frame, like a few picks before them, because other teams will want to see what's available and does it make sense to them, as opposed to doing it this afternoon and then their board gets thrown out the window because the draft, like, goes out, you know, in a different way that they wanted to.
The week began with Buffalo sitting in position number 11 in the first round. They are currently in the 14 slot. They've got multiple picks in round two. And, of course, they have 9 right now in their possession to use over the entirety of draft weekend here in Vegas. We'll see just how many picks our mate San Jose leads it off tonight just after 7 Eastern time. Where will you be watching? We hope it's at Southern Tier because that's where the watch party is unfolding from a Sabre fan perspective. Tonight, it begins at 7 p.m. Of course, get there a little early. Drink special. Special sweepstakes and more, and you can learn more about it at sabres.com. But we encourage you to get down there and enjoy the night, and we'll see just how big a newsmaker the Sabres are when tonight's round one unfolds. Craig Button, TSN draft guru, next here on Sabres Live.